I'd like to invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to John chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 31. John 8, beginning in verse 31. If you're here, maybe you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew there in front of you in the rack, and feel free to take that. If you don't have one, let that be a gift from us to you. We can get that restocked quicker than you would imagine, but we would love for you to have a copy of God's Word if you don't have one. John chapter 8, starting verse 31, says this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you're looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and what you're doing, you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did." And skipping down to verse 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You're not yet 50 years old," they said to him. "And you've seen Abraham?" "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." And at this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Tonight, I want to talk with you about how knowing Jesus changes everything. Knowing Jesus changes everything. And to begin our time tonight, I have some slides I want to show you. Just to kind of get you thinking, get us going on the thoughts about that. Ooh, there we go. I'm going to show you some slides of a few celebrities from earlier on in their life, an early day picture of them, see if you can guess who they are. Wrong way. You don't want me to sing. There we go. Okay. Take a look at that picture. See if you can tell who that is. Think about it. It is Ariana Grande, a singer, Ariana Grande. Okay. All right, couple more. Who's this guy? Do you recognize him? That is George Clooney. Yeah. Okay. One more. It's not me. You're probably not going to get it. That is Ryan Seacrest. Yeah. Now I've got another one for you. This guy right here. Okay. This charming, devilishly handsome young man. Yeah, that's me. I believe in third grade. Now, I need to tell you a few things about this picture. First of all, I'm an 80s kid, grew up Dallas Cowboys fan. They didn't really have jerseys back when I was a kid, so I love Cowboys. I love Tony Dorsett. So my parents, to help, you know, spur me on in my Cowboys fandom, bought me a shirt with the number 33 on it, Tony Dorsett's number. It's totally the wrong color, but that's okay. That was my Dallas Cowboys jersey they gave me. Went with that. Also, the night before my school picture, my dad decided I need a haircut, and he chose to give me a haircut. I love my dad with all my heart, but maybe not the best barber. He went with the receding hairline, pumpkin helmet hair look there. So that's what I've got. Another thing that happened that day I remember vividly as I spilled ketchup on my shirt. You can't tell because my shirt's red. Thankful for that, but it was kind of rough. So yeah, this is me when I was younger. Now, in addition to this picture that hung in my house, there was a picture that I would see at church, and it would be confusing to me. It was a picture of Jesus. And my Sunday school teachers, they would talk about Jesus, and then they would hold up this picture, and they would point to it, not all the time, but from time to time. And as I saw this picture, it would begin to confuse me. And I Google imaged it, and this is the picture that I found. And I remember, I remember thinking as a boy, what is happening in this picture? You know, is Jesus, like, is he falling? Is he angry? Is he running? You know, what is he doing? But as they would point to that picture, and it hung in the classroom for a while. I just remember looking at it and being a little bit confused. I wasn't sure, you know, is Jesus really like that? And there are other pictures of Jesus that you have seen. I'm sure you've seen the classic one, right? Jesus looking all peaceful and looks like he's maybe glowing a little bit there. I don't know. But again, I would look at this picture and see Jesus, and I would make assumptions about Jesus from this picture. And I'm sure, you know, maybe you have done the same, because even if you didn't grow up in church, I'm sure you've seen different pictures of Jesus online or, you know, maybe in different homes. And when you see those pictures, we make assumptions about Jesus. And the truth is, like, this isn't real. You know, cameras weren't invented back then. That's not necessarily what Jesus looked like. But still, if you're like me, you can shape your mental image and even parts of your belief system based off of these pictures of Jesus that we see. So whether it's, you know, peaceful Jesus, angry Jesus, overly nice Jesus, you know, no matter which it is, we can have a view of Jesus that isn't true. And here's the thing. If you really want to know what someone's like, you need to do more than just look at a picture of them. Right? If you were to look at that picture of me from third grade with that bad haircut and ketchup on my shirt, you would have no idea that that was me today. And you wouldn't know a thing about me. You wouldn't know what was on my heart. And the same is true for you. I'm sure we could go to your apartment or your house and we could find a picture of you from your childhood. And, you know, it would be really hard to get to know the real you and what you're about based off of an old picture like that. So the truth is, I think maybe one of the best ways to get to know Jesus, what Jesus is really like, is not just from looking at a picture of him, but listening to what he had to say about himself. Because he had a lot to say about himself, who he is, why he came to earth, what his purpose was. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about it again next Sunday night as well. But before we get into that exactly, I think it's worth mentioning who he was talking to here in the book of John where we're reading tonight. John, he was one of the disciples of Jesus, one of Jesus's best friends, one of his followers. He walked with Jesus and he recorded firsthand things that Jesus did, things that Jesus said. And here in this passage, Jesus, he's at the temple, and he's talking to a group of religious people about who he is. And as he began to explain to them, that part of that group, they weren't exactly buying it, okay? They were Pharisees. They were experts in the law. From early childhood, they studied the law. They memorized the law. They read the law. It was in their hearts. They knew Jewish history. They understood Jewish history. They understood the law better than anybody else. And one of the most important things that they had learned growing up, and something that they were proud of, was that they were descendants of a guy named Abraham. Abraham was a big deal. He was considered the father of their faith. And in this moment of discussion, which probably honestly got kind of tense, Jesus refers to God as his father. And the Pharisees' response was, well, Abraham is our father. Now, that may not sound like a big deal to you or to me, but it was, because here's the message that they were really sending. You know, they basically said, you're talking like you're someone important, but Abraham is our father. It was supposed to be this slam dunk. You know, surely Jesus, he claimed to know God, but he wasn't like Abraham. Abraham really knew God. Abraham was a legend. He was the father of their faith. Nobody outranked Abraham in their minds. And maybe that's what confused them and angered them, puzzled them in this conversation. Was Jesus was claiming to know things and was claiming to be able to do things that even Abraham couldn't do. So as this conversation went on in verse 53, one of the Pharisees asked a question that probably was on everybody's mind. It's that thing that everybody's thinking it, and finally one person had the courage to say it, and it was this: are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? That's the question that they posed to Jesus. And I'm pretty sure that no one expected Jesus to answer it the way that he did. You know, he said in verse 58, before Abraham was born, I am. And Jesus says that he existed before Abraham, but yet here he was standing right in front of them. Jesus is claiming to have always existed. Or in other words, Jesus wasn't just claiming to be as important as Abraham. He was claiming to be God. He went one step further in that, which had to throw the audience off completely. You know, nobody says that. Imagine you're in an argument with someone, and you're going back and forth in this argument, and they say, oh yeah, well, I'm right because I'm God. You know, that's strange. No one says that. No one tries to win an argument that way. It's really not a normal thing to do. So, you know, the chances were that this left the audience there thinking a couple of different things. You know, as they heard Jesus say that. You know, first, maybe he was lying. You know, C.S. Lewis has this wonderful illustration he uses that Jesus was either Lord, liar, or lunatic. And I want us to consider that for a few moments tonight. You know, maybe Jesus was lying. Maybe Jesus just wanted some attention. Maybe he wanted power. In either case, it's a really strange thing to lie about. A claim like that would get you killed, either by the Romans or by the Pharisees, who happened to be standing right there listening to this conversation. You know, people tell a lie in order to get out of being killed, not in order to get killed. So maybe, you know, they were thinking that. Maybe also they were thinking, you know, maybe Jesus was crazy. You know, maybe he had lost it. I mean, he was claiming to be God. I mean, only a person out of their mind would do that, right? And it didn't make sense to this audience. Some of them there probably knew him from his childhood, his teenage years, his adult life. Like, they had seen him grow up. They had seen him speak. You know, and they were thrown off by that. He was he was smart, he was articulate, he was kind, and but no signs seemed to point to that. So, you know, if he wasn't lying and he wasn't crazy, what other options are there? Well, he was telling the truth. Jesus was claiming to be God because he is God. He is telling the truth. Now, you and I, we've heard this idea often enough. Even if you're not totally on board with it, most of us here tonight have heard that many times. And we wouldn't be shocked by the sound of that. But back in this time, this was like a mic drop moment. You know, Jesus was saying, the same God who created the world, the same God who hung the stars and the planets in the sky, the same God who sustains all life, the one who figured out how birds fly and how black holes work, that God was standing right in front of them. And that changed everything. Jesus wasn't just some teacher or political leader. He was claiming to be God. And the truth is, either he was or he wasn't. And for some of the Pharisees, the whole idea was so upsetting, so uncomfortable, so agitating that they picked up stones to throw at Jesus, we read a moment ago. They couldn't handle the idea that Jesus was claiming to be God. But for the people who did believe him, the people who followed him, people who traveled with him, they hung on his every word. And they tried to get to him as close as possible, to get as close as possible to him, because knowing Jesus changes everything. If Jesus really is who he says he is, then everything changes. Suddenly, every action of Jesus was worth paying attention to. You know, these weren't the actions of just some random guy. These were the actions of God himself. So people paid attention how Jesus related to children, how he treated women, how he interacted with the hurting, with the poor, with the sick. They watched what he did, how he treated the widows. People made an effort to remember what he did and what he said. In fact, as many of you know, the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, these four books give us an up-close account of how Jesus lived. So if Jesus really was God and is God, here's the big takeaway for us. Every word Jesus said was worth listening to. If Jesus is God, then what he said wasn't just a good idea or some nice teaching, but what Jesus said was the literal word of God. It could be trusted, and it could be true. As Pastor Mike shared this past weekend, I was away at a youth ministry conference, and I was talking with a friend over coffee, and we were talking about the red letters in the Bible and the words of Jesus and how it's the very inspired it's God speaking himself. If you want to hear God speak to you verbally, read the Bible out loud. You know, we were talking about that, and we were talking about, wow, it's so cool that we have the very words of Jesus in red. But then as our conversation went on, we were talking about the words in black as well, and how they're just as inspired by our Heavenly Father. And we learn about Jesus not just from what he said, but what he did. Both of those teach us about him. And it's so important for us to listen to what Jesus had to say and to pay attention to what he did. If Jesus is God, then every instruction needs to be taken seriously. Because it weren't just coming from a teacher or a guy claiming to be somebody special. Jesus' words aren't the newest self-help, craze that's out there. There were literal instructions on how to live, coming from the one who created life. In other words, if Jesus is who he says he is, then I'll follow his lead. We would commit to that, and not only commit to that, but even go a step further and just begin to wrap our lives around that. Now, maybe you've been coming to church for a while, maybe a long time, and, you know, we sing these songs, and, you know, we can fall into this mindset where we think it's really about just coming to church, singing the songs. We come in the church building, and then we leave, and then we do our own thing. There's so much more that God has for you than that. Jesus didn't come, leave heaven, come to earth, die on the cross, be buried, and raised from the grave just so you can attend a church service. It's important that we come, that the body of Christ gather, but God has so much more for you and for me than that. He wants us to know him, to know him more and more, and he wants us to become like him. The more that we know him, the more we become like him. And some of you, you know, maybe you've drifted from that. You know that in your mind. You know those things that I've been talking about. But it really doesn't connect with how you live in everyday life. Maybe there's others of you here tonight who you haven't really thought about that. You know Jesus is someone important, you know, he's God's son, but maybe you've never taken that first step to connect with him in a personal way, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Either way, I want to encourage every single person here, children, students, adults, every one of us, to decide for ourselves who Jesus really is. Don't let someone else decide for you. Ask yourself, who is Jesus? He claimed to be God, but was he lying? Was he crazy? Or could he actually have been who he said he was? Because if he is who he says he is, then you can trust him enough to follow him. Now, maybe that's a decision that you've already made. Some of you here, maybe you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've invited him into your life. He's forgiven you. He's washed your sin away. He's made you new, and you're walking with him. Praise God for that. But all of us here, no matter if we've received Jesus as Lord or we haven't, if our faith is strong and vibrant or if it's stale and a bit dry, I want to set this in front of each one of us tonight to consider the words of Jesus. I want to challenge you to think about what this really means for you. I want to challenge you to respond in the same way that his early followers did. This is what I mean. When it comes to his words, listen. If you aren't sure which words are the words of Jesus, a lot of them can be found in the first four books of the New Testament, like we talked about a moment ago. But no matter if you're reading the words in red or the words in black, I want to encourage you to spend some time reading the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. It's important. One spiritual discipline I've been working on actually is reading the Bible slower. I like to read, and I can read big chunks of scripture, and I can get to the end, and I don't really remember what I read, or I don't have a takeaway. I think it's more important just to slow down and meditate on God's word. Let it really sink in. Listen to the word. Listen to the word preached. Listen to the word taught. Super important. Another thing that we need to do is when it comes to Jesus' actions, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention. Just like his early followers did. They paid attention to how Jesus lived and how he treated people. And then they decided to treat people the way Jesus did. Now, maybe for you, that means starting at home. The great Billy Graham, he said, the true test of a Christian is how they live at home. Maybe there's relationships within your family, maybe a spouse or a child, a brother or sister. You know, maybe there's some tension there. Maybe it means treating someone different at work or someone in your building. There's an opportunity there to serve and to forgive and to love and to shine light into a dark place. When you pay attention to how Jesus treated people, you may just find that it changes how you treat people as well. And I pray that it does. Because Jesus made people, you can trust that he's right when it comes to dealing with them. So follow his lead. Third, when it comes to his instructions, take them seriously. If Jesus is God, then his teachings aren't just random suggestions. They're commands given from your heavenly Father who loves you and wants the best for you. They're coming from someone who made everything and sees everything and knows what's best for you. They can be trusted to be true, and they can get you where you need to be. And I want to encourage you in this. This is something in my life I've been focusing on as well. James 1:22, many of you know that scripture. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Application of God's word is something I think that's neglected in the church today. Not just here at Calvary, but the global church. We can hear an incredibly powerful sermon and just think, ooh, that is really convicting. And then walk out the door and we don't change a thing. If your relationship with God is a little bit boring, you don't read God's works, you find it boring, or you feel a little stale, I have a challenge for you. I did this past year, and it's turned my life upside down. After you read God's word, if you spend just 5, 10, 15 minutes in the word, decide what it is you need to do based off of what I just read. Make an application, and then do it. And then the next day, you do it again. I found myself, I got into journaling. I was writing down what God was saying. I'm not a big journaler. I would just write a few lines. But after 4 or 5 days of reading God's word and having 4 or 5 different applications that I was trying to work on, it was incredible. But it transformed my day. Because once I walked out the door, I now had this proactive approach to what God wanted me to do today. And oh yeah, I'm working on, you know, being a servant, like I read about yesterday. And today I'm working on encouragement, but I'm still serving, trying to be a servant. And my faith came alive. And it's because I began to focus on application. I challenge you to do the same thing. When it comes to the instructions of Jesus, take them seriously. And to summarize, it's this. If Jesus is who he says he is, then you can trust him enough to follow his lead. Now, I know with this many people, there may be some situations with your family, maybe some situations at work where it's really tough. You're like, yeah, I know I need to do that. I know that's what I'm supposed to do, but you don't understand my situation. You know, it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. We all have struggles. We all have challenges. But God knows what he's doing. There's no one wiser than Jesus. And the things that Jesus had to say back when the scriptures were written are still applicable today. We're looking for answers all over the place, and the answers are really found in the Word of God, in what Jesus had to say. And if we will take hold of that, listen, take them seriously, and do what Jesus said, we'll begin to see God move in our life. But it begins with this: do we trust him? And that's why it's important to think about back at the beginning, who Jesus really is. So you have to ask yourself, you know, this question: do I really believe Jesus is who he says he is? Is he actually God? And if he is, then we need to follow his lead. But even if you aren't there yet, I challenge you to try following his lead anyway. Because when you do, you may be surprised that your relationships in life get better, and you begin to see God move in you and around you. And ultimately, you may come to the same conclusion that his first followers did, that Jesus is Lord. He is God. And because of that, you can follow his lead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that we have this story of Jesus who, Lord, even when he was sharing with others about who he was and people weren't receiving it well, that, Lord, Jesus didn't back down. We praise you that we have your word recorded, Lord, to give a testimony of that and to give us encouragement here today. Thank you that we're able to know you. Lord, I pray for each person here that we would have a correct understanding of who you really are. And Father, that once we know Jesus and we really lean into that relationship, that everything changes. Lord, you change us inside and out. We praise you for that truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.